this on CNN that vaccines can trigger autism. This weekend, Gina Gerberding, the head of the CDC, appeared on Dr. Sanjay Gupta's show, House Call, and explained that vaccines can trigger autism in a vulnerable subset of children. This is the claim that parents like me have been making since at least the 80s and have been dismissed and even mocked for making it. But no one in the mainstream media seems to have noticed, not even CNN, not even Dr. Gupta, who was sitting right in front of her. This was Monday, March 31st, 2008. Video was updated April 2nd, 2008. Here goes. In April of 2007, Julie Gerberding, head of the CDC, told the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee the following. CDC recognizes that parents want answers. We share their frustration at not having more answers about the causes of possible cures. Cure. She described the issues surrounding autism today as urgent. Source, Jeff Nesmith, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, April 18, 2007.
This is a special edition of Health Call, Unraveling the Mystery of Autism. And one of those 4,900 cases was the case of 9-year-old Hannah Poling, which has been making a lot of news lately. Luckily, we have the director of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Julie Gerberding, here. We're talking a lot about autism, as you know. I should remind people that my understanding is the federal government conceded that vaccines cause her autism-like symptoms. First of all, is there a difference in the issue of autism or autism-like symptoms? What's the difference?
Dr. Gupta's first question, does Hannah have autism?
I mean, I don't have all the facts because I still haven't been able to review the case files myself.
HHS conceded the Poling case in November of 2007, 5 months before this interview. The Polings held a press conference carried live on CNN March 6, 2008, 2 weeks before this interview, yet Dr. Gerberding has not taken the time to read the Poling case. She cannot even tell us whether or not Hannah Poling has autism. When one is frustrated with an urgent epidemic, one does not wait half a year to look into possible causes. For the record, Hannah Poling has autism. Source, Journal of Child Neurology, Volume 21, Number 2, 170-172, 2006.
Does she have autism or autism-like symptoms? What's the difference?
Dr. Gerberding never answers Dr. Gupta's second question. What is the difference between autism and autism-like symptoms? There is no distinction. If one has the symptoms of autism, they have autism.
My understanding is that the child has what we think is a rare mitochondrial disorder.
On March 11th, 2 weeks before this interview, a CDC Vaccine Safety Agency held a conference call on this topic. One researcher shared the results of this yet unpublished 5-year study of 30 children with autism. The biochemistry of 30 children was studied intensively, and in each case, the results show the same abnormalities as Hannah. Each child has moderate elevations or imbalances in the exact same amino acids and liver enzymes as Hannah Poling. They estimated that up to 1 in 50, which is 2%, may have a genetic mutation that puts them at risk for mitochondrial dysfunction. Up to 20% of all children with autism may have an underlying mitochondrial dysfunction. It's not rare, is a quote from participants in the conference call. Source, David Kirby, the next big autism bomb, are 1 in 50 kids at risk, Huffington Post, March 26, 2008. Kirby made this information public 3 days before Dr. Gerberding gave the interview to CNN. Now watch as Dr. Gerberding explains the association between vaccines and autism. Mitochondrial dysfunction plus vaccine-induced fever or other complications equal autism-like symptoms.
My understanding is that the child has what we think is a rare mitochondrial disorder, and when children have this disease, anything that stresses them creates a situation where their cells just can't make enough energy to keep their brains functional normally. Now, we all know that vaccines can occasionally cause fevers in kids, so if a child is immunized, got a fever, had other complications from the vaccine, then if you're predisposed with a mitochondrial disorder, you certainly set off some damage. Some of the symptoms can be symptoms that have characteristics of autism.
For more than 2 decades, parents have been reporting that after being vaccinated, their children spiked a fever and exhibited other complications, including inconsolable crying, extreme lethargy, seizures, bowel problems, and more. And then their child regressed into autism. twin parents said that they believed there was a link. They were called emotional, desperate, scientifically illiterate, and looking for someone to blame. Dr. Gerberding has just told them they were most likely right all along.
I have a 2.5-year-old and a 1-year-old, as you know, and, you know, you think about this all the time. Are we ready to say right now, as things stand, that childhood vaccines do not cause autism?
Didn't he hear her? She just said it did in kids with mitochondrial disorders. Listen again.
My understanding is that the child has a, what we think is a rare mitochondrial disorder.
It's not rare.
He doesn't have this disease. Anything that stresses them creates a situation where their cells just can't make enough energy to keep their brains functional. And now, we all know that vaccines can occasionally cause fevers in kids. So if a child is immunized, got a fever, had other complications from the vaccines, then if you're predisposed with the mitochondrial disorder, damage some of the symptoms can be
symptoms of autism. So there you have it. Vaccines are linked to autism in the presence of mitochondrial disorders.
What we can say absolutely for sure is that we don't really understand the causes of autism. We've got a long way to go before we get to the bottom of this. But there have been at least 15 very good scientific studies on the Institute of Medicine who have searched this out, and they have concluded that there really is no association between vaccine and autism.
What is she talking about? She just explained the association between vaccines and autism. Incidentally, the IOM No Association conclusion was made in 2004 before we knew that mitochondrial dysfunction was involved and before any of these were published. Developmental Regression and Mitochondrial Dysfunction in a Child with Autism, Journal of Child Neurology, 2006. Neuroglial Activation and Neuroinflammation in the Brains of Patients with Autism, Annals of Neurology, 2005. Porphyrinuria in Childhood Autistic Disorder, Implications for Environmental Toxicity, Toxicology and Applied Pharmacology, 2006. Comparison of blood and brain levels, comparison of blood and brain mercury levels in infant monkeys exposed to methylmercury or vaccines containing thimerosal, Environmental Health Perspective, 2005. Activation of methionine synthase by insulin-like growth factor 1 and dopamine, a target for neurodevelopmental toxins in thimerosal, Molecular Psychiatry, July 2004. Uncoupling of ATP-mediated calcium signaling and dysregulated IL-6 secretion in dendritic cells by nanomolar thimerosal, Environmental Health Perspective, July 2006. Aluminum adjuvant linked to Gulf War illness induces motor neuron death in mice, Neuromolecular Medicine, 2007. The nasal neurotoxicity is associated with glutathione depletion, protection with glutathione precursors, Neurotoxicology, 2005. Thimerosal induces neuronal cell apoptosis by causing cytochrome C and apoptosis-inducing factor release from mitochondria, International Journal of Molecular Medicine, 2006. Proximity to point sources of environmental mercury released as a predictor of autism prevalence, Health and Space, 2008. Evidence of Mitochondrial Dysfunction in Autism and Implications for Treatment, American Journal of Biochemistry and Biotechnology, 2008. Heavy Metal Toxicity with Emphasis on Mercury, John Neustadt, M.D., and Steve Pysenik, M.D., Ph.D. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder and Blood Mercury Level, a Case Control Study in Chinese Children, Neuropediatrics, 2006. Energy Deficient Endophenotype in Autism, American Journal of Biochemistry and Biotechnology, 2008. Evidence of Toxicity, Oxidative Stress, and Neuronal Insult in Autism, Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health, 2006. A case series of children with apparent mercury toxic encephalopathy manifesting with clinical symptoms of regressive autistic disorder, Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health, 2007. Epidemiology of Autism Spectrum Disorder in Portugal, Prevalence, Clinical Characterization, and Medical Conditions, Developmental Medicine and Child Neurology, 2007. Mitochondrial-mediated somerosal-induced apoptosis in a human neuroblastoma cell line, parentheses, SK-N-FH, end parentheses. Neurotoxicology, 2005. Possible immunological disorders in autism, concomitant autoimmunity and immune tolerance, the Egyptian Journal of Immunology, 2006. Environmental mercury release, special education rates, and autism disorder, an ecological study of Texas, Health and Place, 2006. Autism spectrum disorders in relation to distribution of hazardous air pollutants in the SF Bay Area, Environmental Health Perspective, 2006. Stress in autism, elevated cerebellar 3 nitrotyrosine levels, American Journal of Biochemistry and Biotechnology, 2008. Oxidative stress in autism, pathophysiology, 2006. Large brains in autism, the challenge of pervasive abnormality, the neuroscientist, 2005. Bridging some cells to cognition in autism, pathophysiology, biological pathways to defective brain function and plasticity, American Journal of Biochemistry and Biotechnology, 2008. Blood levels of mercury are related to diagnosis of autism, a reanalysis of an important data set, Journal of Child Neurology, 2007.
Are you comfortable with everything that we know? I think you can talk about these
things. I'd rather be comfortable with everything now. Yes, we have to have a know about this. We know that those very little things are something that related to a vaccine causes the sponsoring help.
CDC currently estimates the risk of this predisposition at up to 1 in 50 children. A 2% chance of lifelong neurological impairment is a very high risk.
We also know how life-saving vaccines really are. You know, something like 33,000 children a year are saved from death associated with vaccine because of our immunization program. So it's huge.
Yeah.
One of the things that concerns me is how the attention is focused on vaccines is these people are not looking for other causes. And
note the misdirection away from the vaccine connection and that she does not direct us toward any other promising theories that are being neglected. Keep in mind, almost all autism research going back decades has focused on genetic causes and yielded no applicable results.
And that's just reminding ourselves that the vaccine story has been one that's been debated for many, many years now. We keep looking and looking and looking, and it really cannot turn up in nature.
Where exactly is she looking and looking? There is so much information out there on the vaccine autism story that parents who follow it weekly can't keep up with it. But should we be surprised that she can't turn off this information? Her idea of looking and looking is waiting indefinitely to even read the polling case file.
How does the government be doing more to try and address this controversy, especially in the minds of, you know, so many people out there who worry about this and live with this, as you say, every day?
Should the government be doing more to address this controversy? The government hasn't done anything.
Well, one thing that I remember is that the government is actually opposed to moms and dads. And there are a lot of moms and dads at CDC who look at this the same way. Many of the people in their education program are parents of young children. So they understand the dilemma that a parent feels. But it's kind of our job to do the science to help clarify and separate concerns from scientific facts.
Then why hasn't CDC done the study of autism rates in both vaccinated and unvaccinated populations, like the Amish, that the FDA charged them with doing in 1982?
Autism is a huge challenge, and it is much more common than I think anyone realized. And
here she is inferring that there has been no true increase in autism, only an increase in the recognition of autism, thereby uncoupling the rise in autism rates from the rise in the number of vaccines given to children. Stop for a moment and think about the autistic children in your life. In the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, did you know anyone like them? If Dr. Gerberding is right, you should have known just as many then as you do now with the same severity of autistic symptoms.
And we aren't doing enough, and we need to do more.
Yeah.
We need answers, not only.
She has been saying this for years but taken no action.
only to the cause that we need answers for treatment and for management, and certainly on autism awareness that we need to understand how we can catch this disease early so that intervention starts soon enough to really help these children.
Our viewers have a lot of questions. I'm so delighted you were here to help answer some of them. We're going to stay on this, and we hope you're doing
it. We're staying on it, too.
Thanks so much, Dr. Gerber. Appreciate it.
Julie Gerber, vaccines are linked to autism and not linked to autism. The double speech coming from Dr. Gerber is both ridiculous and unacceptable. Her testimony claiming that CDC was as frustrated as parents were and that she considered the autism epidemic urgent was clearly false. It is time for Julie Gerber to actually read the Hannah Pullen case files and the other vaccine court autism cases, and to be brought before the U.S. Congress to explain these conflicting statements and the actions and inactions of her agency. Call your congressperson today and demand hearings into the autism cases in the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. House.gov, Senate.gov, Ginger Taylor, MS, Autism Mom, AdventuresInAutism.com. That's the end of the video. You can see the video at http://adventuresinautism.blogspot.com/2008/03/JULIE-GERBERING-ADVENG-ON-CNN-PHAT.html.